Everyone is searching for answers. Everyone is searching for answers. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? What is going to happen to me? Do I have a special destiny? These and many more questions haunt our thoughts, and many of the answers can be found in the secret behind the day of your birth. Your birthday identifies you as one of the 52 cards in the deck, which in turn reveals many things about you and your life. Stay tuned today as we explore your destiny with me, Robert Lee Camp. This might be your date with destiny.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. And first of all, before I begin tonight, I want to say please excuse my voice. I lost it, a lot of it, over the past weekend, and I'll tell you more about that, how I lost it later. Hope you're having a good day, and I'm back now from a two-week hiatus from the show. Actually, what happened was I had to take a trip out to North Carolina to move my business from North Carolina to California. So now Seven Thunders Publishing is completely moved to California, and we were getting set up, and it's been really busy trying to get everything going. So that's what's happening in my life, but I'm certainly glad to be back. I had a really good trip. I got to meet a lot of people. I did a nice talk in Georgia, in Atlanta, for those of you in the Atlanta area. If you missed my visit there, I hope to come out there again some other time. So stay in touch and let me know. I'll keep you posted as to what's going on. What else? Well, I'm thinking of having probably in May coming up, or June at the latest, another class here at my house in Concord, California. This will be a one-day class on relationships and using the cards to do relationship readings, and how to use the cards effectively for relationship readings, how to find the right partner, how to find the right business partner, other kinds of relationships, what are all the rules, what can we know about people from knowing their birthday that can really help us understand how they might integrate into our life, all the little rules. It's really going to be a fascinating class, and we're going to be videotaping it. Because we have a video of a relationship class now, but it has some the sound was missing in certain segments, and so we want to redo that. So I'll be announcing that soon. Any of you who live in the San Francisco area or anywhere in California or anywhere else in the world who would like to come to that class, be looking on the website and our next newsletter for an announcement as to when that's going to be. Also, I have a new book coming out in about a month or so. It's going to be called Your Birthday, Your Card. And this will be in the bookstores, and we'll have it on the website. I'll let everybody know about that once it's been released. It's really coming out to be a really, really amazing book. It's basically a shorter version of love cards, something you can give as a gift to a friend or somebody. I think you'll enjoy it. It's a little bit more, not whimsical, but a little bit more pop culture-ish. Has more celebrity birthdays in it. It tells you like would have the best marriage with, who you'd have the hottest sex with, things like that. It has a lot more fun aspects to it than the regular love cards book, though it's not as complete as the regular love cards book. And it'll be less expensive than the regular love cards book. So, without further ado, today is April the 21st, and today is the King of Clubs Day, one of my favorite cards in the entire deck, King of Clubs. If you're born today, you're either a Taurus or an Aries. You're on the cusp, actually. You're in the very end of Aries, or you're at the beginning of Taurus. A lot of people born this day, I think the majority of them are probably Tauruses, but there are a good number of Aries people also born this day. And to know for sure, you have to run a chart. You have to actually do an astrological chart if you really want to know, because it varies from year to year whether you are on this day, whether you be a Taurus or an Aries. I was just going to take a quick look to see if I happen to, let me see here. I'm just going to see if my astrology program will tell me briefly if today is actually Taurus, if the sun is in Taurus or the sun is in Aries. But so just give me a minute to look up. I'm on a different computer than usual. And let's see. Astro. See, if you run a chart for today, you can actually see where the sun is setting right this very moment. That's the way we do it. There it is. Let's see if this works or not. Okay, it's popping up. Let's try doing it here now. Okay, like for right now, the sun is definitely in Taurus. It actually went into Taurus 2 days ago. So even though this is the 21st, the sun went into Taurus on the 19th this month. So we're on the cusp date, but some years on this day, the sun will still be in Aries. So anyone born today is definitely a Taurus, and their ruling card will be the Four of Hearts. If you're in Aries, you'd be a Four of Diamonds. We have a lot of famous people, you know. There are so many famous King of Clubs people. It's like one of the most common cards in the deck, number one. But people who are King of Clubs tend to end up in leadership roles in some way. Like, for example, Queen Elizabeth II is born today. Tony Danza, Roy Dupuis. Who is that? Roy Dupuis, an actor. Iggy Pop, Anthony Quinn, musician Robert Smith, John Muir of John Muir Woods, Charles Grodin, also born today. I'm sure a lot more people were born today, too. King of Clubs, the ruler of knowledge, they always end up being teachers of some kind. In some way, they end up teaching us all. Normally in this program, for those of you who are new, we have a little discussion in the beginning. And around 7:30, we open up the phones for questions and answers. So I have a question for you tonight to start out the show. What would make you happy? Or let's do it another way. What would you say is the definition of happiness? I remember when I was a young child, when I could first think, I think I first became aware that I was thinking when I was around 7 years old. I might have thought a lot before then, but that's when I became aware of myself as a thinker, the voice in my head. And it wasn't long after that that I began looking for, the way I called it is, what is the key to happiness? I don't know where I got that expression. Maybe I read it in a book or something later on. I'm not sure. But that's what I would ask myself. What is the key to happiness? So what is the key to you? What do you think happiness is? And how do you achieve happiness? I'm assuming that you want happiness. So what is it really about? What is it about for you? Is it different for you than it is for somebody else? And how important is it to you? I mean, really? Do you really want to be happy? That's a question that I think we could ponder for a whole lifetime, really, when I think about it. Happiness, what is it about? So, you know, I would think that a lot of people would say, well, happiness would be basically getting something that I want. So, like, if I wanted something and then I got it, I'd be happy. I remember at Christmas when I was growing up, I would be all excited about opening the presents. And there's a part of me that watched this process in myself. I would watch how I would be so worked up about what I'm going to get for Christmas. And then Christmas Day would finally come. It would seem like it took forever to come, too, especially the last few days. It would finally come, and then I would get to unwrap my gifts, and my brother and my sisters would get to unwrap their gifts. And I remember that I would be so into it, but as soon as I got the things that I got for Christmas, the very moment I got them, I seemed to start to lose interest in them right away. It was amazing. I noticed that some toy that I had wanted for a long time, within a few days, I didn't really care much for it anymore. Now, there might have been some toys that I played with longer, but I was aware of this at a young age, that things that I got, the buildup for getting it was much greater than getting the item itself. How many of you... Excuse me one moment, I'm just going to pull the phone out of my ear, which I do often. How many of you have the same experience? Like, you really want something, and then you get it, but it doesn't take too long before you kind of lose interest in it. Like, you know, that wasn't that big of a deal. Wasn't that great. It wasn't nearly what I expected it to be in terms of how much happiness it would actually bring me. I think all of us have this experience. But think about it for yourself. Like, how many times has this happened to you? And what have we learned from that? What do we make of life when we think about that? When we think about, well, getting what you want in that way is kind of like a short-term elation. Like, the moment you open the present, it's great. And then shortly after that, it's like, who cares? Kind of that thing, right? So here we go. We're looking for happiness, and our society, if you watch TV, if you watch, you know, read the newspapers and all this, you'll find that everybody is, they're promoting things, and the whole idea of things is that these things will make you happy, will make me happy, they'll make us happy, having all of this stuff, okay? So... really, we have to call into question whether that's really true. Like, what is that really going to do it for us? Now, I mean, if you don't have money to pay your bills, and that money comes in finally, you know, and then you have money to pay your bills, I'm sure you're going to feel happiness. But really, in that situation, the happiness that we feel is relief from the stress or the fear that we were experiencing about not having the money. You know, like, sometimes happiness in that situation is just the absence of pain or the absence of suffering or the absence of fear or something that we don't want. So you might say happiness is the absence of things that we don't want or don't want to have. So we can say it's either getting what we want or it's the absence of things that we don't want. Like burning our hand in the fire, taking your hand out of the fire is happiness. If you just got your hand in the fire, and now it's not burning anymore. It's much better. Perhaps that's the answer. So when you look at that, this happiness thing, you get in kind of a sense like it's like duality. It's like you get something and you feel happy, but it's just momentary. Same thing with when you're not getting something you don't want. I remember somebody once told me, he said, you want to feel good? Okay, here's what you do. Just take a stick and hit yourself on the arm with it for about a minute. And until it hurts, and then stop. You'll feel good. So the absence of being hit with a stick makes you feel good. Is that happiness? So, I mean, let's think about it for a minute. And is that what we really want in life? Do we really want happiness? Is that what we're really all about? If it is, how come nobody's happy? If really his life is about being happy, how come so few people that you see are actually really happy? And you might say, well, I'm happy. But are you? Are you happy? How much are you happy? How much of the day are you happy? And what is it that makes you feel happy? And happy, I guess I'm kind of overusing that word. I could use other words, I assume, as well. Contentment. but whatever it is to you. So there's this happiness we get, as I said, about getting what we want. So we have a desire, the desire is fulfilled. We have a sense of feeling good from that, which is always, if you look at it very carefully, you'll see this is true. It's always brief. It's not long-lasting. It doesn't last for very long. Now, it may last. You may appreciate something longer than this. I mean, like if I got a new car, I might really appreciate it for a week, even a month maybe, maybe a year. I don't know. But it always eventually comes down to, it becomes like I'm back to the same old, same old. I'm not really happy. I'm back where I was, kind of in between happiness and unhappiness. So there's another kind of happiness that we can experience in life. And we all get fleeting glimpses of it from time to time. And that's the happiness that comes from a deep sense of inner peace and a deep sense of acceptance of what is. Acceptance of what is in our life. It doesn't come from something externally changing. This is the major distinction about this happiness that I'm talking about. This happiness doesn't come from something outside of us changing or being different. It doesn't come from having a new relationship. Even a new relationship can be so exciting in the beginning and after a while become nothing. You know, become basically just another chore of your day. So there's a happiness that comes from things outside of us. And there's a happiness that comes from inside of us. And it's a different kind of happiness. I'll give you an example of that. This is a simple example, but, and this is something that I teach a lot in my work with prosperity, you know, having prosperity in our life. I teach that, you know, having prosperity, a lot of it's about gratitude. So, like, if we were to take, if you're feeling poor in your life, if you're feeling like you don't have that much money or that you don't have enough, you can actually change the way you feel by just taking an inventory of everything you have and remembering how much you appreciate having it. You know, just looking around your house and around your living situation and saying, wow, I'm so happy I have this, and I have that, and I really appreciate having this, and isn't this beautiful, and isn't this nice to have this, and look what a convenience this is, and look how much use I get from this. It's so valuable to me. Just the act of doing that can transform an attitude, a feeling inside of discontentment to contentment. And the beauty of this is that this is something that you and I have a conscious control over. So this is an example of happiness that doesn't come from outside of us. It comes from inside of us. Because you didn't change anything externally. What you changed was your relationship to it, your attitude about it, about life in general, about your life in general. So this having happiness in our life that is more long-lasting, and by the way, you can have that happiness. You can sustain that. We can sustain that happiness. We can practice it, actually. It can become a practice in which we put, it's almost like an investment in a bank account, like a savings account that draws interest. And every time that we look around and we see things in our life and people in our life that we appreciate, if we just remember to stop and take that in. Now, how do I take something in? You know, how do I let something come in? In order to do that, I have to be with that. Like if I have, let's say, a beautiful chair in my house, which I do have a beautiful chair in my house. It's actually, it's the most comfortable chair. It's like the one that sits next to the couch. I don't know what they call it. It has a name, I'm sure. An ottoman or something like that. But this chair is so comfortable that when I sit in it, I almost feel like going to sleep every time. It's just that comfortable. And I always want to stretch out when I lay in that, when I sit in that chair. And it has a foot thing, too, that's separate from it, a part of it, that you can put your feet up on, so you can actually stretch out on this thing. In order to experience that, in order to appreciate that chair, I'd have to either look at it or think about it or remember how it feels or actually get in it and experience it. The point is, I have to bring it into my attention. I have to bring that into my awareness to have this happiness, to experience the happiness or the joy or the appreciation for something. So see, our mind is constantly moving around all day long. It's constantly moving. And if you notice, if you just watch your mind for an hour, I think you could start just watching for 5 minutes. If you're able to sit back and witness your thoughts for like 5 minutes, you'll notice something about your thoughts. And that is that they're always in the past or in the future. And they're always away from what's around us. You know, our thoughts are always pulling us away from what's right here and now. So what's in front of us? Like if I'm sitting, like I am, I'm sitting in a chair right now. But my thoughts are probably off somewhere else, thinking about the past or the future. That's almost the nature of the mind, of our minds. So our minds are really not about happiness. Now, our minds will set up future goals for us, and they're always externally things. In other words, the mind is always creating, okay, I'm going to have this, and then I'll be happy. And it's always in the future. It's never right now. It's always later, the mind thing. Think, if you look at this carefully, you'll see what I'm talking about. The mind is always creating a goal. And between the time that you get the idea to have something, and between that time and the time that you get it, it could be a long time. It could be a day. It could be 5 minutes. Or it could be 10 years. But every time you think of that thing in the future, well, first of all, you're not in the moment anymore. You're not appreciating what you have. And there's a stress call. There's a sense of internal stress. Because where your mind is and your attention is on the mind, on this creation that's not here now, and that creates a certain level of stress. It creates a discord because there's not a harmony between what's existing and where our attention is. So we're actually away from the now and into the future or the past. Usually in the future when it's about stuff. And then we could go through this whole period of waiting to get this thing. And then when we finally get it, we get it. But the contentment that comes from that, the happiness that comes, the joy, is very short-lived. Why is that? Why is it short-lived? It's because the mind doesn't want to be there with that. As soon as you have one thing, the mind wants to go on to the next thing. It doesn't want to be content or happy with what you have now. It's never wanted to be content and happy. It's always adding something to it and saying, oh, well, next you have to get this. So instead of having your attention on what you have, being present with it, enjoying it, taking it in, appreciating it, seeing the beauty in it, experiencing it, you've already left. You waited all this time to get it, and now you have to leave it. Why do you have to leave it? Well, you don't really have to, but your mind cannot have it any other way. Because when you're really experiencing something in the present moment, when you're really taking it in, you are not of mind. Your mind has no control over you. And the mind is deathly afraid of losing its control over our attention. Our minds are fearful. So it will want to take us into the future or the past, either one, because anywhere but here. Because here is the death of the mind. Here and now is the death of our mind. If you watch this in yourself, you will see the process. You'll see it happen over and over again. Even with simple things. Even like sitting down to cook a meal. First of all, you're sitting down and you're cooking. Is your mind on the cooking? Are you actually appreciating the cooking? Or are you thinking about the past and the future? you finally get the meal prepared, which you spent all this time, and you actually thought about that meal before you actually prepared it. You had the idea to cook the meal prior to cooking the meal. Then you cook the meal, and then you get down to eat the meal. Can you actually be there and really enjoy that meal? Or are you off thinking about what you're going to do later after you eat? What are you going to do next? What are you going to do tomorrow? What did you do yesterday? What happened earlier that upset you? What happened earlier that made you feel good? What happened 10 years ago that made you feel good? What are you going to have happen in 5 years? What fantasies? Whatever. But are you able to be present and with the meal you're having right now? You'll find that if you look carefully, that this permeates our entire life. It's huge. It's so huge that I can't underestimate. You can't underestimate how powerful this is. This process of pulling ourselves away from the now into the past and future, keeping us there constantly. And this is where we live our life most of the time. We live our life not in the now, not experiencing what's happening. I mean, outside my room right now, there's a beautiful evening happening here in California. The sun is not set yet, but it's beautiful. It's on the horizon. It's been a nice kind of a coolish day, like in the high 60s, the temperature. There were birds chirping all day long. There's flowers growing because it's spring here. It's all beautiful. The trees are full of flowers and leaves, and there's birds everywhere singing. And yet, did I appreciate all of that? Did I really go out and get into that? How much time did I spend enjoying that? I spend most of my day here in my office thinking, solving problems, planning, doing things, working, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with work, but it's like that in our life. As a matter of fact, every present moment, right now, everything is really beautiful. Everything is perfect. Everything is wonderful. Everything is actually better than wonderful. But how much time do I spend with this moment right now experiencing it? And how much do I spend being out of this moment in my past or in some imagined future? Which, as you know, they say that the past and future don't exist. Well, they do exist in the mind. They exist only in the mind. So if you think you are your mind, you will say, yes, the past exists, and so does the future. Because that's where I live. That's where I have my, that's who I think I am. I think I am a bunch of thoughts. And my thoughts are always about the past or the future. And if I am my mind, past and future exist. But when you're in the present moment, you see everything for the first time, for real. And you see that the past is never existed, and the future never existed. They do not exist. They're not real, because all that really exists is now, here and now. That's all that really exists. So this is where true happiness comes from. And we experience it very rarely in our life, as a society, as a planet, as a race, as a species. We experience that happiness very rarely. We keep looking for it in the future. Something else. When I have more money. When that job finally comes through. When I get that new car. When I get my nails done. When I get a massage. When I have somebody call me. When I have a letter come in, when I get more money, that's when I'll be happy. We always keep it in the future, our happiness. And all the while, we're denying ourselves the true source of all happiness, which is experience. True happiness can only be experienced. It cannot be just a thought. It's like thinking that you could get your appetite satisfied by reading a menu. The body doesn't lie. The mind will lie to us, but the body will never lie. You cannot eat a menu. You cannot get a full stomach from reading a menu. You cannot get a full stomach or a satisfied feeling in your stomach from talking about food, from thinking about food, imagining food in the past, or imagining food in the future. You can only be satisfied by experiencing the real thing. And the only real thing there is eating a meal. So this is how we live our life. It's been called madness. And it is. It is madness. We're all the victims of it. We're the victims of a disease that afflicts everybody on the planet right now. And this, if you've been listening or reading any of the books by Eckhart Tolle, you will know that you will see clearly that it is the number one cause of all the suffering that we have on the planet right now. He points out over and over again how the human race, the number one cause of death among humans is the death at each other's hands. We have killed, in the past 100 years, humans have killed 100 million other humans in the past 100 years alone. And that doesn't even include all the other suffering that has taken place. That wasn't death, but just suffering. It's very, very interesting. So, I highly recommend, if you haven't, that you read The Power of Now, but I would actually recommend even more that you listen to the tapes of it, the recorded version of it, because it's much more potent. It will take you right to where it's really at. It's the source of everything, really. It's the source of everything. So, why am I a horse? I wanted to share a little story with you. Many of you know that I've written about it and talked a lot about the training that I did about 2 years ago, a little less than 2 years ago, in North Carolina. It was a training called the Legacy Training, and it absolutely changed my life. It's a three-step training experience. And there is actually a four-step in some locations, but I took the three steps, which changed my life forever. And the entire three steps ended up taking about 4 months of my life. But the first two steps are just a week each, so it was they were really fast. And the biggest change happened in the second step for me. So there's a center, there happens to be a center here in Concord, California, and I volunteered to be one of the staff people for the first level training that was held here this past week and weekend. And that's where I lost my voice. Because a lot of the exercises there in this training involve sometimes you have to yell things to really get it out. So it's not like a yelling, screaming, primal scream kind of thing. But there is some yelling that happens. Let's put it that way. Anyway, we do have a center here in Concord, and any of you who would like to see your life completely change, send me an email, give me a call. There is probably a center close to you, if not even in your own town. And I'll be happy to tell you more about it and enroll you in having a new life. So we had a group of 30 people that now have a new life after 5 days of being together and working through some of the misconceptions they have. And I, after reading Eckhart Tolle's books, which is really interesting, I realized that this training, the reason it works so well is because it's actually using the principles, the very same principles. It actually helps us really get into the now. It's just amazing. I saw the connection. They don't even know. The people that do the trainings are not aware, for the most part, of Eckhart Tolle's books. But they are doing exactly what he says. That training helps. it actually gets us out of the past and future and into the now in a very powerful and positive way. So that's what I was doing, and hopefully by next week I'll have my voice back in full, and we can I can talk a little louder. So, okay, so we're going to take a short break right now. I would like to hear the latest recording that I've made, which is called Rama Rama, Rama Rama. And when we come back, we're going to take your call. So if you wanted to call in tonight and ask about a question about your destiny or about your life or anything, now's the time. Call in. We'll get your name and birthday, and we'll have you on the show in just a few minutes. This is Robert Lee Camp, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song. Rama Rama is an ancient sound. It's many, many thousands of years old, that name. And chanting it is connected to the heart chakra of the body. It opens up the heart center, the center of unconditional love. Hope you enjoyed it. Okay, we do have some callers now. And we, our first caller is, I think, calling from Iran. His name is Saul. Are you there, Saul?
Yes, I'm here.
Are you actually calling from Iran?
No, actually, I'm located in Los Angeles, but originally I'm from Iran.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, welcome to the show. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
And you are born December the 14th, 1957?
Correct.
Okay, I happen to know that a friend of mine here in town is listening, and her birthday is also December 14th.
Oh, okay. What a coincidence.
Yeah. So,
do you have all the answers?
Well, I don't know. I know her a little bit. I don't know her that well, but what can I do for you this evening?
Okay, I purchased your card of your destiny last November, and I did my destiny for this year. And it seems to be a year of a major turning point. But in terms of details, I'm not sure if I'm doing it right, if I'm putting the horse in front of the cart or the cart in front of the horse.
Sure, sure.
And I was wondering if you would be kind enough to clarify some of the issues for me in terms of the changes and directions that I should expect.
Okay, sure. Well, there's indications here of many things. You have a Five of Diamonds environment. That's one thing. Which is a change, and often that represents a change of career.
Okay.
Or a change in the way that you make money. It usually has to do with money. But see, because it's an environment card, Saul, it's considered a very good thing. So the way I would approach this, based on that card there, is I would say, if any opportunity for change comes, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because good things are indicated for that change. Does that make sense?
What?
So like that's like a kind of a green light for you.
Okay.
That if you had an opportunity for something new to come in to make money in a different way, or even in a different location, that you should be taking it.
Okay.
Do you see that?
No, my planetary card also has a Five of Spades.
Yeah, another that one also can mean a change of work. You have a Five of Spades environment there with a Five of Hearts long range. And, I mean, it looks to me like you need to move also.
When you say move, relocation or move in any directions in many areas?
Relocation. So what has come up so far since your birthday? Anything?
Nothing major, but now I feel that some changes maybe in the offing.
Uh-huh.
And actually that's the kind of change that I have been hoping for and planning on and working on. But the question is, are these changes in the direction I would like, or the changes that are forced upon me?
Well, I think they are changes, based on what I see in your card, I would think they're changes that you will like.
Okay. Because I also have that for my Pluto.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, okay. So, yeah, you do have to look at the whole picture. And I wouldn't be surprised if you would resist the change. You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a Four of Clubs.
Okay.
And Four Clubs are very stubborn and they're kind of fixed. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So you would naturally, I think, resist change, even when it was good for you.
Okay.
But there's a time for change. And I do think your time is now. And I think you know where you need to change. I don't think I need to tell you that, because I think you already know. Do you understand?
Now, in terms of the timing, because we have these seven different periods,
yeah.
And when I look at the second half of the year, I do have a lot of diamond cards and a lot of spades. And I'm not sure, okay, this change would come at the end of the year, or is it the ace of spades in Neptune period, or when?
Okay, so the exact timing of it is not clear here.
Okay.
But you have to play a role in this, so you have to get going.
Okay, so it's something that I can make it happen, as opposed
That's
to waiting
right.
for that to happen.
Yeah, see, this is the thing about the cards that lots of people don't get. You have to walk into this. These cards cannot make us do anything. But they can suggest a pathway that's going to bring success. And this for you, it's the message is absolutely clear, Saul. Change is going to be really good for you.
Okay, great.
Don't wait any longer for this. See? Don't wait. Get going. Because you're wasting time. You could be enjoying the fruits of this change already. Do you understand?
Yeah, I have been working on this project for the last few years, and right now I feel I'm near the end. I'm ready to take the next step, but I don't think I'm fully prepared yet. I need a few more months. That's the reason.
Okay, just don't take too long, though, Saul. Sometimes people can plan themselves into inaction.
Okay.
Do you understand? You know, you're not a person that would be risk-taker. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's good to take a few risks and to go for it. You're like a planner. Right?
Yeah, I plan things to death sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Don't plan this one to death. Get moving, like your life depended upon it.
Okay.
I know you want more, right?
As I said, I just feel that I need a few more months to complete the project and take it to the next level. And you are saying that a few months may be too late. I just need to...
I'm not saying it's too late, but I'm saying get moving right away. Don't wait so long. Like, I'm not saying it'll be too late in a few months. I don't think you're going to miss an opportunity yet. If you wait too long, you will. Your year is already one-third over.
Right.
Okay? You don't want to go by and let it be half over without having this change. Plan this change. Make it happen in June. Okay?
In June, okay.
Yeah, you make it happen in June. That's your Jupiter period.
Okay.
Okay? You could not pick a better time of the year to have it happen.
Okay.
And you have a Nine of Clubs there, and you have an Ace of Diamonds underlying your Queen of Spades. So you have the support then to do it. So you plan it, and you execute it.
Okay. Now, one last quick question. Looking into 2009, if we just make these changes, what should I expect from these changes in the next year?
Well,
Jupiter, I have all hearts.
See, you're looking for reassurance for the future, and you're looking too far in the future. See, what you have right now is you have the indications there in front of you saying, this is good.
Okay.
And you need to follow that and then let next year take care of itself.
Okay.
You see? This is going to be good for you. And you'll see, but unless you step into it, you keep thinking it. See, this is your thinking thing going on.
Okay.
Is it going to be okay next year if I make this change? Next year's cards will depend upon what you do this year.
But I need to plan, that's what.
Well, you got to stop planning. You got to stop planning so much, because you know, you already know, you plan things to death.
Mm-hmm.
So don't kill this, all right?
Okay.
Don't kill the beauty of this influence. You will never have, listen to me, you probably will never have an easier year to make the change.
Okay.
You might need to make it, if you don't do it this year, you might be forced to make it.
Okay.
You don't want to do that. You want to be proactive in your life, not wait for it to come get you and clobber you over the head. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous because like 10 years ago, more than 10 years ago, I took some chances and took some risks and just kind of blew up. So that's why now that I have to go through another change.
Yeah, you have your past, kind of scares you a little bit, but remember, this is not your past. This is now, and you have now the benefit of a system that
very
offers
good
direction, see. It offers more support for you. Okay?
Very good. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for being my guest tonight, Saul.
Thank you for taking my call and for the advice.
Okay. Call again and let us know how things are going.
Thank you. I will. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is we were talking earlier. You know, I was talking about the mind, and the mind can be our ally, but it can also be our enemy. It's good to use the mind for planning purposes, but sometimes that planning can go way too far, and it becomes inaction. It becomes an excuse to act. Sometimes we have to just throw the planning aside and the thinking aside and just take a step, that first step on that journey that we want to take. We're only going to get there by taking that first step. Okay, we have another guest calling in on line 4, and we have lines open, guys, so if you want to call in, get on the phone. You can get on right away. But I want to talk to Lisa from L.A.
Hi, Robert. Love your show. Love the music, too.
Well, thank you, Lisa. I appreciate hearing that from you.
You're welcome. Well, I'm excited to talk to you. I've been studying the cards, and I have your DVDs and stuff, and I just wanted to ask you about the underlying cards when you're doing a reading for a year, the part the underlying cards play, how you interpret them.
Well, some of the underlying cards, usually, in most cases, now, let me just say for the benefit of our listening audience, because not everybody knows about the underlying cards.
Okay.
You don't see those show up in the cards of your destiny book. They don't appear there. You have to learn the advanced method or use the software program to see them. But every card in the yearly spread has underlying cards. And these there's two of them in almost every case. And these cards represent usually people. So the first thing I do with underlying cards is look for the people that show up there. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
It's the first place to look. Like, I remember once I had a Queen of Clubs in Saturn, and underlying it was a Ten of Clubs. And during that period, I sure enough met a Ten of Clubs woman who was my Queen of Clubs in Saturn for me.
Hmm.
She played a Saturn role in my life, and that was who it was. So it identifies the actual person.
Okay.
But there are some underlying cards that are very significant. For example, you had a Six of Spades and Nine of Spades. Now, it's a little different for you because you're in your 45th year this year.
Right, it's been amazing.
So your underlying cards are the same cards you have underlying your life spread cards. So it's not like it's not the same as it will be in most years of your life.
Right, got it. Okay.
Yeah, I know you get that. But, you know, that the combination of the Six of Spades and Nine of Spades as underlying cards can bring a devastating event for some people, even if it's a good card on top. Now, I don't think that happened to you because it was your 45th year. It's a Jupiter year for you. But that can be, that combination of underlying cards can be deadly.
Okay.
For some people, imagine if that was underlying your Saturn card.
Right.
You see? So the spades, especially when you have spades underlying a card, they can have a significant effect on us. So it's very important to look at those and see. And also the other cards to look for are significant cards like the Ten of Diamonds, the Eight of Diamonds underlying, because those are really good money and success cards. So you want to look for certain ones. But in general, I just use them for relationships, identifying people.
And then would someone show up, like, for instance, an Eight of Diamonds, would that show up as a Queen of Spades, like, in your life spread, you know, signifying the Eight of Diamonds because that's their underlying card?
No, it wouldn't. They are karma cards to each other, okay?
Oh, that's right.
See, the underlying cards that you look at in the life spread are actually called karma cards.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Okay.
they're lifetime influence cards. So, no, you wouldn't look, if you saw a Queen of Spades, that does not mean that it's your Eight of Diamonds friend or boyfriend or whatever.
Okay.
You would just look for the Eight of Diamonds and whatever his ruling card was.
Okay.
For the most part, you know.
And
I
then,
mean,
so, say you're looking at someone and you're a different age, like, and you're looking at their spread, does it go both ways?
Yeah. Yeah, you would look in their spread for your cards underlying their cards.
And would my card, like, say, would it, like, if they were, like, Saturn to me in their year spread, would I feel that?
No.
Okay, only not. His, only how like, he would
if
feel.
If you're Saturn in his yearly spread, he's going to be feeling the Saturn, he or she. But you won't feel it.
Okay.
You'll only feel what they are in your spread this year.
Okay.
So, like, you have an Eight of Diamonds and Neptune this year, so any Eight of Diamonds you meet this year is okay with you. But they're your lifetime Neptune card anyway, because you're in your 45th year.
Yeah.
So it'll be hard for you to distinguish that for this year.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well,
good questions.
Thanks. I got your Advanced Oracle workbook, and I so recommend it for anyone. I mean, because being able to see the underlying cards allows you to understand so much more.
Yeah, you know, we consider that to be an advanced level, and we save that because it would be too much in the beginning to give somebody, you know. If they had all those cards in the spreads and then underlying cards, they would be like, oh my God, there's way too many cards here.
Yeah, you're right, but it's such a cool book. I use it all the time, so thanks.
Well, you know, and you're quite the smarty pants.
Hey, thanks.
You're a Two of Spades ruler, so you're super smart, you know.
Yeah, thanks.
And so it wasn't hard for you, but it might be harder for others, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Einstein had a Two of Spades ruling card.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah. And I just love the system. I just took to it really well because I've always grew up around the cards, playing blackjack with my grandma. So.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, since we were like six or something. So, yeah, so I love how it affects, you know, relates to the cards. It's great. So.
Cool.
So, good.
That's great, Lisa. Well, thank you so much for being a guest tonight.
Thank you.
And feel free to come on anytime.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
See you later. Bye. Okay, we're going to take a short break here and listen to another song before we have our next caller on. And there are two lines open as well if you would like to join in. So I would like to hear the song, if you don't mind, Seth, Sri Ram. The song Sri Ram, and when we come back, we'll talk to Jackie from Mariposa. We'll be right back.
Hare Rama. street.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. I hope you enjoyed that song off my CD, Bhakti Rock. If you like the music, you can get a copy of my CD. Just go to my website, seventhunders.com. There's a link there on the first page. It tells you where to send me a check. And I'll send you an autographed copy of my CD. Hope you enjoy it. Okay, we do have lines still open, folks. But we are going to talk to Jackie from Mariposa. Are you there, Jackie?
I am. Hello.
Thanks for being here.
I love your music, by the way. It's very heart-filled, and I really love it. I'm going to definitely buy the CD.
Well, thank you, Jackie. And I don't remember, where is Mariposa at anyway? What part of California?
Mariposa is a little town outside of Yosemite in the Sierra Nevadas. It's filled with gold and crystal.
Oh, wow.
And mountain pines.
So is that, how far is that from Sacramento?
It would be like a 3-hour drive.
Oh, okay.
We're south.
Oh, okay. Nice.
If you know where Merced is, we're about
35
minutes from Merced.
Do you live in the mountains there? Do you live in the mountains?
I sure
there?
Do.
Is there snow up there now?
No, but it's very cold.
it got down
to like 40... or below last night.
Oh, yeah, okay. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like
nice.
Cold.
Refreshing.
I like cold myself. I really do.
I did get out today.
Oh, good. Was it beautiful?
Oh, it's very, very beautiful.
Oh, nice. So let me make sure I have your date of birth correct. Is it February 12th, 1951?
Yes, it is.
Good. And you are a king of diamonds.
Okay.
Did you already know that?
I did not know that. You know, this is the first time I've ever heard you speak.
Oh, okay.
And
well,
I'm an amateur astrologer, so I was very interested.
Oh, you will love this system. It tells you, it's just like astrology. Actually, it's connected to astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all based on your birthday.
Right.
And every birthday is a card. It's actually more than one card, but there's one made card and a second card. And you're both of your cards are diamonds. You're a king of diamonds and a six of diamonds.
Okay.
So you're all about value, Jackie. You know, I don't know. You have your own business?
No, but my career was an independent salesperson.
Yeah. Well, you were born with business savvy.
Yes, I am. I'm very good.
You didn't have to learn it.
Well,
I used to have a friend that was a King of Diamonds, and she was an Aries. There's more than one birthday with the same card. And I used to tell people that you could drop her in the middle of the desert, and within a month or so, she'd be a millionaire.
Well, I've been very fortunate with money. I've always had enough, but not so much that, I don't know. I just always had enough that I needed. That's all I needed, actually.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Great.
My
so
value.
I can answer questions for you about this year or about relationships, if you have one, or if you want to know when you're going to meet somebody, or anything like that. Do you have anything you want to ask me?
Well, I'd like to ask you about this year, this time period I'm going through, but I have to admit that I'm really very, very sad right now. I've been in a relationship that we're simply on different paths. I'm on a spiritual path, and he's a doctor, kind of still in the box, and we're not meshing anymore, and it's breaking my heart, but I have to, you know, give honor to my spiritual path. That's where I am. That's who I am. And I don't get recognized for that, and so I feel very sad about it because I love him very much. But I don't know if what kind of answer you could give me on that one, but I'm experiencing a lot of sadness.
What is his birthday, do you know?
Yes, it's February 19th, 1947.
Give me one second to get him up on the screen. So you're both Aquarians?
Yes.
You say he's 47?
He's actually, I think, in the first degree of Pisces.
Yeah, he might
be 1947.
Okay. Well, he is a, okay. Yeah, you guys have a very strong connection. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you both share one card. You have the same card.
What?
Well, you're a King of Diamonds and a Six of Diamonds. You're a King of Diamonds birth card and a Six of Diamonds ruling card. He's a Six of Diamonds birth card.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
So you share...
Out of all the cards.
Yeah, and if he's actually a Pisces, which he might be, then his other card is the Queen of Diamonds.
Wow.
Which is very close to the king, you see. So a couple of things about that, like let's just assume for a moment that he is a Pisces.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he is, but let's assume
he is.
You know that he is. Oh, right, because you've done his chart, so you know.
I'm a bit of an astrologer.
Okay, good. So him being a Pisces and being a Queen of Diamonds means that you have always been the leader of this relationship.
True.
And his role in this relationship has been more or less to nurture you and to support you. You're the husband, he's the wife, basically, in the traditional sense of the support versus the leader kind of thing. Do you follow that?
I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely true.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, I mean, now, there are some people that are in these kind of relationships like yours where the woman's the leader, and the woman doesn't want to lead, you know, sometimes. But you don't have problems with that because you're a king.
Mm-hmm.
Leadership
right.
comes natural to you.
Right.
It's what you do, you see.
Yep.
Without being told or, you know, all that. So, now the question comes, for him, see, some men are okay being in that position and some men aren't. This is one thing. I know that you have these differences, like he's not in the spiritual thing like you. But there could be even more to it, you know. Because, see, when a man is playing that role for a woman, and I've been in both kinds of relationships, where I've been the support person and where the other person has been the support person. And when a man is in that role, he's really infatuated with the woman, no doubt about it, totally taken with her. But at the same time, he ends up being in sort of a feminine role. And sometimes mm-hmm. that doesn't sit right with the man after a while. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could have contributed to whatever other things showed up between the two of you.
Possible. Okay.
Yeah, possible. I'm not saying it did, because I can't be for sure without looking at this astrology or something like that. I do astrology, too. But I would say that's probably a factor. He probably has other issues, too. I think between you and him, you are the one that more likely to keep commitment in a relationship long-term.
Mm-hmm.
Overall. Not that he's not a birthday that is particularly non-commitment oriented.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's about 50-50. Okay. There are some birthdays, commitment is out of the question.
Right.
You know a little astrology, right? So
yeah.
It'd be like somebody who has Venus square Uranus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of birthdays like that out there.
Yeah.
I see that in your cards right now you have an Ace of Spades in Venus. That means the death of a relationship, a change. And I can see that it's hard for you.
Uh-huh.
But I have a feeling you're going to meet somebody so soon it's going to make your head swim.
Mm-hmm.
I would say by the second week in June you'll be in a new relationship. Or not in a relationship, but at least dating somebody.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
We haven't actually broke up yet.
Oh, okay. Well, you might be getting back together with him then.
Oh. But you see a new start, huh?
It could either be you and him, or it could be you and somebody else.
Gotcha.
It could go either way. It'll be passionate.
Well, there you have it. <It's> like, passion hasn't been our problem.
Well, that's
it's,
good.
Yeah, but you know, it's the spiritual link up. You know, I think I've just been too spoiled with the mates in my life have been spiritual.
Uh-huh.
And you know, inwardly I call him a muggle. Do you know what a muggle is?
Yeah.
From the Harry Potter movie.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, and
you know, I have a very good friend who lives in. She's like the same age as you, and she lives out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And she was in a relationship for about 2 years with this man. And she totally was into him, and they were totally compatible. But like your man, he just wasn't into the spiritual stuff at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of her life was always cut off.
I know.
She couldn't share it with him. He had no interest in it.
Right.
It just wasn't part of their being together at all. And it doesn't feel good to have that.
Well, this is me. You know, this is my lifeblood, right?
Yeah.
And to not share that with someone I love is...
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the purpose of relationship? I mean, isn't one of the main purposes of having a relationship to have somebody that we would share things with that we're going through?
What it's the vitality of a relationship. You know,
I mean, when I look at it, like, you know, you have a relationship and there's a lot of passion in the beginning and kind of after a while it can kind of, it's not as much, you know, and
mm-hmm.
you're looking at, well, what's left? What's left after all the passion has subsided somewhat? And it's like, okay, having somebody to share my life with. So what if half your life you couldn't share that with them?
Well, what happened is that he was so interested in my aliveness about everything that I, because I'm very verbal and I love to talk about it. It really gets me excited and happy. And so he was, like, kind of really enjoying all that for months. And then I find out that it was almost like, like he was letting me, you know, enjoy my drama of myself or something and not really being connected with it. That I felt like betrayed.
Well, yeah.
You know.
And how long have you been with him?
About a year.
Okay.
And he's been ill, very ill. So I've stayed with him longer than maybe I would have. Once I figured out he wasn't really on the same path as me, but I wanted to take care of him because he was very critically ill.
Oh, okay.
And so,
yeah.
I've nurtured him into stability right now. So I'm feeling really sad because now I know. Well, anyway, gosh.
Well, you know, it's a lesson learned, and it's a good experience. It's not a, certainly wasn't a mistake. I would call it a mistake. I would call it, you know, a good experience. But it's always sad to break up. You know that.
Very sad.
Yeah, so I'm sorry for your sadness right now.
Thank you.
And I know you're going to be okay soon. You have some pretty hard cards right this period. In this system, the year is divided up into 7 periods. Each one is 52 days long. And you're in your Venus period, the period of love, which began on April the 5th, and it goes until May 27th. On May 27th, you'll go into your next period, and everything will shift then. You'll go
And what's going to rule that period, or...?
Queen of Hearts, which is the pleasure card.
Great. I'm ready.
You well, you know. Fascinating.
I'm tired of being sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, things are going to change. Of course they're going
good.
To
I'm ready.
And it's nice to know when. And
yeah. And that's the 5th of May, you say?
Yes. No, the 27th of May.
Oh, 27th of May.
Yeah, 27.
Okay.
That's when you enter your next planetary period.
Okay. Well, I'm going to order your book and look at it and try to figure it out.
You can
someone figure it out
you
from your
know?
Book?
Yes, yeah, very. You'll have no problem.
Okay.
The book is self-explanatory. It leads you through it one step at a time. There's 2 books, actually. One is called Love Cards, which tells you all about you and your birthday and other people and their birthday and how you connect with them in relationship.
Okay.
They're both very large books. That's one of them.
Sounds good.
That's like your natal chart.
Okay.
And your synastry or whatever you do. That's the relationships in your natal. Then the other book is called Cards of Your Destiny, and that has... that your transits and progressions for your entire life.
Wow.
It's all mapped out. Your whole life is already in the book. Every year and every month.
Oh, that's amazing.
And test it. Test it out. Don't believe it. Test it. Look at your past. Look at your past and say, well, okay, I got married this year. Let me see if it's in there or not. Do that kind of stuff.
Fantastic.
All right. Pleasure talking to you.
Yes, thank you, Robert. Appreciate it very much.
Stay in touch and call again after you read the book, whatever.
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was really nice. What a nice King of Diamonds person. You know, some King of Diamonds, that's the only one-eyed king in the deck. You know, some can be very ruthless. And you never know. So, you know, you got to just be a little careful when you first meet them. Till you find out which side of the fence they're on. Okay, so we have not a client of mine, but somebody I've emailed a lot from Long Beach. Are you there, Joey?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
Pretty good, except my voice is kind of shot, but otherwise I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I noticed you were speaking rather low today.
Yeah, I explained earlier how I lost my voice, so, but I'm proud to have it the way it is.
I hear you. Well, I'm glad you're here. I missed you last week.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I appreciate hearing that.
Yeah, I was all ready for you. My birthday was last Sunday.
Oh, that's right. You have a brand new happy birthday, Joey.
Thank you. And that is the reason for my call. I want to start my year right. And get some good sound advice to make this year go smoothly as possible. Because you know I'm an 8 of diamond with the Ace of Club.
Yeah, I'll let everybody else. Let me just tell my listening audience that your birthday is April the 13th, 1968.
Yes.
That's correct, right?
Yes.
Okay, now go ahead.
And I'm looking at my cards for the year under the 8 of diamonds. And also I'm looking at my cards for the Ace of Club.
Right.
My planetary ruling card.
Of course.
And I'm scared.
What are you scared about?
I don't see anything redeeming. And I'm nervous about the seven of diamonds, but I know it can go either way, and I need to make sure it doesn't go completely haywire for me. I've had a rough year in business for the past year and a half, you know, coming out of real estate. So now I'm looking for a new job. I have a couple prospects, but things have been really, 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 really tight. And I'm like,
you believe in God? You believe in God, Joey?
I do.
And what are your views on God? Is God kind of a loving kind of God, or is he like a mean kind of God?
Yeah, I don't come from the old school of fear.
You are?
I don't fear. I kind of correlated to my parents. I have great parents, and I've always been given what I needed, not always what I wanted.
Is God kind of a mean old man who's like looking out to see if you're doing right?
No, I don't. Once again, I don't have like the I don't have the fearful, you know, fear of God, or else, which is kind of like what we were taught, or what was taught in my church. But I never subscribed to that.
Okay, so who is God? Who is God to you? Is he loving and kind?
Yes. I study astral psychology, so I come from more of a cosmic universal level, and I look at planetary alignments, and I look at the Creator as creating all of this, and I don't really perceive the Creator as like a judgmental type of being.
Well, I'm asking you actually on a more personal level than what you're talking right now. Like, do you have like a relationship with God inside of you in some way? Like, do you connect with your Creator? Do you pray, for example?
I do, but see, that's my confusion, and maybe you brought this up for a reason that I needed to hear. I don't like pray to Allah or Jehovah or Buddha. I mean, I'm confused about all that. So I don't have a one-on-one type of interpersonal relationship like someone who is a devout Muslim or devout Christian.
Okay.
Or devout Buddhist. And I think that may be a problem for me.
Well, you know, I was just thinking like, you know, if God is just a concept and you don't really have a concept, you know, there's no relationship. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
You don't have somebody that you can pray to, some sense of that, like being or whatever. And it doesn't really have to have a name, by the way, so it doesn't have to be like Buddha or Muhammad or anybody. But if you don't have anybody anywhere to go like that, then you don't really have a relationship with that right now.
I guess you're right.
So I'm just curious about that, because, you know, when we don't have a relationship like that, then life is just, you know, bad things happen to good people for no reason.
Yeah, and I do feel very alone.
Yeah.
I read your Love Cards book, and, you know, you wrote about the Eight of Diamonds that runs from marriage.
Yeah.
And I've done that my entire life. And now all of a sudden,
I bet you're a beautiful woman.
I don't get complaints.
Well, God, thank goodness for that.
Well, you know.
Why are you alone?
Well, you know the Eight of Diamonds.
Well, the Eight of Diamonds I know aren't alone all the time. Why are you alone?
Well, In my numerology world, I have a lot of cards that denote things.
Well, don't look at the cards or astrology. Just ask yourself, why do I choose to be alone instead of having somebody in my life? If you have an answer, you do. If you don't, you don't. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that and call it next week, because I've been alone for a long time. I guess the relationships that I've had, I'm like fickle. I hate to say it, but it could be that three-heart Venus. It's like when I'm single, and as soon as I get with somebody, all these great guys come out of the woodwork.
Okay, let's run through it once real quick. You meet somebody, get into a relationship, and then all these other good guys show up. What do you do?
I flirt. I don't cheat, but I flirt.
You flirt, and then what else?
I just get to know them, and I go, wow, I wonder if that's what I want.
And then you want to change.
And then what?
Then you want to change from one guy to the other?
Exactly.
And do you change, or what?
Not necessarily. I've never left anyone for somebody else. I would never do that. But it makes me, like, look at my current relationship, like, eh.
Then you end it with the one you're with.
I guess eventually, but I would have never just walked away from a solid, you know, successful relationship. There's always something that, you know, starts to, you know, rub you raw. But I mean, it's been a long time since I've been in a, you know, in a serious relationship, and then I tend to attract men who are 100% unavailable. Like, I'll meet guys who travel a lot, or guys who don't want to stay in America.
You're looking for those guys, Zoe.
Yeah.
You're not meeting them. You're actually scouting around for them.
You're right, because I have two friends now that are not from the United States, and they're not planning on staying here.
Yeah, because see, those guys are never going to ask too much of you.
Well, they want me to travel with them. They want me to eat
with
them.
Yeah, but it's not too heavy for you, though. See, it's not like a person who's there all the time.
Right.
Yeah,
they live in other states. They're not even here in California. So.
Right, so they're like just close enough that you like them.
How do you know all this, right?
That's about as close as you want them to be. So you put an ad on the internet and you say, you know, I want to date somebody, but you have to be at least 3 states away from me.
Okay. Yeah, that's perfect. So I can still do what I want to do. I'm the type, I like to read, like, my destiny books. If I had a husband and 3 kids, could I really have studied destiny cards the way I wanted to? And everything else I like to read and study?
I don't see anything wrong with your lifestyle. I'm just pointing it out to you.
Yeah.
So you look at your cards and, you know, you're afraid because you see all these 9s and you see 7 and they look really scary to you. But then you tend to look at cards in a more scary way yourself because you don't know where to go in that when things go bad. You feel like you're helpless in the world. You're kind of a victim of whatever happens around you.
Yeah, I feel very alone on this planet.
Yeah, in that way, like there's nowhere for you to turn. See?
Yep.
Now, I'm not suggesting you get religious or anything. I'm just pointing it out to you that you really don't have any place to turn. You know? Like I happen to have a relationship with God, I know that if I pray for something, I always will get it. I always get the help that I need when I want, you know. So I also, that same knowing causes me to always know that whatever happens in my life is God's love for me. It's going to be good. It may not look good in the moment, but I know for certain, I have no doubt now in my mind, that everything that happens to me is like coming from His love for me. And it's going to be good for me once I get to understand it and see the real truth of it. Do you understand?
Right.
Like I really know this now. So it's not like a belief. It's not like something I pray and hope for. It's something I absolutely know. So whatever happens to me, no matter how bad it looks, I know that God's love is behind it. And it helps me to accept it quicker, to deal with it. I ask myself, what does He want me to understand? What does He want me to see? What does He want me to learn here about life?
Are you a particular faith, or do you just have a relationship?
I just have a relationship to God. I mean, I was a Jehovah's Witness at one time. I was a Baptist. I was born into a Baptist family. I lived in a yoga ashram for 10 years. I worshiped Krishna and Shiva. And, you know, I just talk to God. And I look at Him like a father figure. To me, He's a father. You know, some might look at Him as a mother. I look at him as a I look at God as a father. The one that's there.
See, I feel the same way, but I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to come across as, once again, non-committal. But last week I prayed every morning with a colleague of mine, and he prays in Arabic, and then he's like, tomorrow it's going to be your turn to pray. And I said, well, I don't really pray like you, and I kind of look at God from like a masculine female, you know, like a mother-father figure, because that's natural to me.
Sure.
And you know, I recognize my mother is a great woman and my father's great, and I recognize, you know, the yin and the yang, you know, the moon and the sun. That just makes sense to me. He was like, okay.
See, when you pray, whoever God, however you speak to God, you pray to God, he will answer your prayer. He or she will answer your prayer. And when that happens, you're going to realize there's somebody there that loves you. And that's going to make it easier for you to deal with what's going to happen. Like, I look at all these cards in your spread, and I see it's a deer.
Say that again?
I look at all the cards in your spread for this year, and I see a good year.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like you say, there's positives and negatives to every card, and you just try to live your best.
Yeah.
Live the highest out of each card.
You know, you've got a pretty scary card in Saturn. You've got a Seven of Hearts. It's only scary on the relationship level, though, you know. That's like a relationship where somebody betrays you or, you know, turns around and does something you weren't expecting that's not on the positive side, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can get really worked up about that and afraid, or you can say, well, let me be open to see what happens here and learn about what it is that I'm doing in my life. Because Saturn's always showing us ourselves. It's always a reflection, a mirror of what we're up to.
Well, Seven of Hearts is my cosmic reward card normally, so maybe it won't be as harsh.
Yeah, well, that's true. It may not, for that particular reason. You're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right. That because it's your cosmic reward, it may not be as bad. So it's about experiencing the work of the year and letting things happen and seeing what happens and learning from it. That's it.
Yeah, I guess just because I'm coming out of a rough year, I'm just looking for mental peace. It's kind of like been one thing after another.
Well, you know, rough year, it's only rough because things happen that you weren't expecting and you didn't want.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And Eight of Diamonds like to get everything their way, don't they?
Well, you know, I mean, I understand how life has to go, but, you know, you just want those suffering periods and, you know, take long, but I guess it could take as long as the universe needs it to take.
Well, what is suffering, my dear? What is suffering? What's the definition of it?
Well, to me, suffering is dealing with something that's unbearable.
Yes. And why is it unbearable?
Huh?
Why is it unbearable? Like, how, what is it about something that's unbearable? What is it that makes it unbearable?
Well, when it's like a constant, like I watched a friend who her and her children were homeless 2 years ago, and she stayed with me as long as I could, you know, house her and her children, but then I had to answer to, you know, my landlord. So, but I watched her life, you know, for a year, and it was just one thing after another, and it was just, to me, it was like suffering. So it was like every day, as soon as she thought she'd make a breakthrough, you know, she'd take two steps backwards, you know.
Yeah.
So it was just a consistent, long-term, you know, type of issue.
You know, take a look at suffering and you'll see that it's just that things are not going the way we want them to. Or we think they should be. That's what suffering is. It's when the external world is different than our concept of what it should be.
That's true.
You know, that's all that it is. I mean, just think about that. It's when you think about it, it's kind of amazing. Like, it's just because things aren't the way we think they should be.
But you can turn this around. I've been looking at your affirmations.
Well, I don't know, but you can look at how you have it. you can look at how it has to be a certain way or you're going to get all unhappy about it. Okay, things aren't going my way. I am going to get unhappy right now. Watch me get unhappy.
Well, when are you supposed to get unhappy? When things are swell? That's typical. That's normal. You get unhappy with things.
Well, whose idea was it for him to be a certain way in the beginning, in the first place? I mean, who had the idea that it had to be this way? And where'd that come from?
I don't know. It must be learned behavior in our culture. I have no idea.
Well, you
but
got
I agree.
Somewhere. You got that idea somewhere. You know, you got this idea. Like this.
Well, it may, like I said, maybe cultural, because I have friends from Africa who have seen, you know, the worst of the worst, and they always have a smile on their face.
Yeah.
They're always smiling.
They're smiling because they're not fighting what is. They're not fighting
exactly.
It. They're not making it wrong. They're not making what is happening wrong. See? They're saying, hey, this isn't what I expected, but it's okay.
Surrender.
Not what I expected, but look what it is. It's kind of interesting. Maybe there's something to learn here. Maybe this is good. Maybe it's a mystery. I got to figure it out. Maybe God's got a plan for me that's different than I thought.
Robert, I try to find the joy and the spiritual lesson and the happiness. That's my name, Joy, and I really do.
Yeah, that's right.
I try to find each little piece of joy throughout the day that I can. You know, but every once in a while it gets overwhelming and you just want to scream and say, well, what am I doing?
Yeah, well, I understand that. But Joy, we're all facing the same question. We're all dealing with this every day of our life. It's common to the human race. And you'll see some people that are happy and some people that are not. And if you study them carefully, you'll see that they're not so hung up on the way things have to be. You'll notice that.
Right.
And that's the defining difference. That's the distinction, is that they're not trying to make life be a certain way. That's why they show up as being more happy, more flexible, more open.
Yeah, I read your law of attraction, and that's very interesting. When you see things with people that you don't like, and then you look at yourself, and you're like, ooh, I do that. Sort of.
We're all guilty of this, you know?
Oh,
we
yeah.
We can't help it. It's part of being a human. So, you know, looking at your cards, you know, if your job ended last year and if it was tough, and I think it needed to end.
Well, I can't fight the feds on the real estate.
That's right. You can't stop God. You know, whoever's in charge of all this, you can't stop it.
Yep.
Right? So
yeah,
you might as well get with the flow and be willing to be flexible. You're not all that flexible, Joey, because you have an Ace of Clubs ruling card.
Okay.
It's fixed, you know? It's a fixed card. The Ace of Clubs.
My dad's the Ace of Clubs. He's a cool guy.
You got it from your dad. But it's up to you to be different, okay? You don't have to be your dad.
I see the Ace of Spades and the Five of Hearts in my Venus, but, like, I don't have a boyfriend.
You're not in Venus yet, are you? You're not in Venus yet, are you?
No.
But you will be soon, and you've got an Ace of Spades and a Five of Hearts. What are you going to do? You're going to travel somewhere and have a little secret affair?
Nice.
Yes.
I need some love, Robert. I need some love.
We all need love. It's okay. Don't fight yourself about it. Just watch what happens and look at the cards and be ready to flow with what's going on, you know?
Well, that's the thing that was kind of cool is that I have the Ace of Hearts, Pluto, as well as Environment, and then the Four of Hearts displacement. Now, my mom is a Four of Hearts, so I'm thinking that's her.
Well, you know, this Ace of Hearts is about you finding what you really love in life. And it could bring
you more.
It could bring you, yes, it is awesome, and it could bring you a love, or even more than one love this year, but it's all going to be about, underneath all that, whatever's happening, will be your quest to find out what really makes you happy.
That's a lot of fun.
That's the message
for you. That is a lot of fun. It's all about passion for me right about now. I was just asking my friend, I'm like, when was the last time I woke up and I was passionate? Like when I was 8 years old, I knew my parents were taking me to Disneyland, and I'd get up 2 hours earlier just to make sure my clothes were ironed. Like, that's passion.
Yeah.
That's
when
was the last time I woke
right.
up like that?
That's right. You got it. You got it. You're exactly right on that. That's exactly what's going on.
But, you know, I do have passion for the Destiny cards, and I love it, and I've converted all my friends, coworkers.
Well, why don't you, you could do readings, Joey. You love it so much, there's no doubt you could do readings for people, aren't you?
I do. I don't charge for it, but I do basic. But now that I've read love cards, I'm like thinking that's a good thing. My friend is in the hospital right now. He's a doctor. He had kidney failure and partial heart failure. And he's blaming it all on the relationship he had with his stepfather. I mean, his stepfather stressed him out so much that he had high blood pressure when he was 15 years old. And he's been dealing with this, you know, he's 45 now, so going through that 45-year stage. So I looked up in the love cards book, and you can tell me if I was wrong for this. I looked up his father's card, which was a 7 of diamonds, and then my friend is an 8 of hearts, and I looked at the relationship between the two as if they were, you know, I know it's like if you're married, but I said, well, you guys already have, like some negative stuff going on anyway, some past life stuff, Saturn, like double Saturn in the relationship.
Yeah. But at the same time, you know, at the same time, he had to be in that relationship for karmic reasons. And it's about him. There's a lot going on there about him. And what, is he the 7 of diamonds or the 7 of hearts?
Sorry?
Well, what card is he?
My friend is the 8 of hearts, and he's a medical doctor as well as a holistic doctor. And then his father, who we just found out last year was really his stepfather. But he was raised as if that was his dad.
Okay.
But he was a 7 of diamonds.
He's
very abusive, verbally abusive.
Yeah.
He said he was afraid to ask to go outside and play. But that's how bad his father yelled at him.
What birthday was his stepfather? Which one of the 7 of diamonds birthdays was he?
Shoot.
It would be good to know that.
I'm sorry?
It would be good to know that. Which one of those 7 of diamonds he is, it would be good to know that.
I'll have to...
Because the ruling card will also play an important role in that relationship, and I wouldn't even start talking about that relationship until I knew both, for both people. But, you know, it's enough anyway, but I just thought I'd mention that.
Well, my friend, my 8 of heart friend, his PRC is 6 of clubs.
6 of clubs, okay.
And I'll have to get his dad's
Eight of hearts and 6 of clubs people who have asked 2 cards can be really controlling. You understand?
Uh-huh.
And they can be very combative themselves. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, I told him that. I said, based on what I'm reading in the love cards book, you two were more similar than you know. It's just
I bet he didn't want to hear that, did he?
No. I said, but it just so happens that your father was the, you know, 250-pound man and you were the 80-pound, you know, 10-year-old, 11-year-old.
Yeah.
So that's how it played out in this lifetime.
Yeah, his father
just treated him like, and then he found out when he found his birth certificate last year and found out that the father's part was blank, he realized that was never really his blood, paternal father. So he goes, well, maybe he treated me mean because, you know, I wasn't his son. I said, well, it was already written.
Okay. Cool. Well, you're doing great. I think you should do readings, Joey, and you should charge money for it.
I love it.
All you gotta do is make yourself a little card up and just tell all your friends. Say, and let them know what it costs. Don't hide that.
I've spent a lot of time. I've been following you for 3 years, and went through a few books. They're all tattered, torn.
Yeah. Well, it's great to have you as a friend, Joey. It's great to have. You.
I want to come up the next time you do. I missed your last.
We're going to do a relationship class probably in early June.
Okay.
Up here, I'll be sending out an announcement. It'll be on the website and in the newsletter. So. You'll hear about it.
Well, send out a prayer for me that I get a new gig.
You'll get exactly what God God's love for you is the best. I have no doubt about it.
Well, I can accept that.
It's going to be great. Whatever it is, it's going to be great, Joey. It's going to be a fun journey. I have no doubt.
I can accept that.
All right.
Thank you so, so much for your love.
Welcome.
I feel your love off the phone. Thank you for your time.
You're very welcome, Joey. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that was fun. We're going to have, we don't have any more callers now, so we're going to end our show a little early, and we're going to hear the most popular song on my CD. It's called Gayatri. And I invite you to sit back and relax, close your eyes, and listen to this song and feel the vibrations of this, one of the most powerful mantras ever, ever created, I would say is the best word. Called the Gayatri Mantra. So enjoy it, and we'll see you here next week. I hope you have a great week. This is Robert Lee Camp saying good night.
Om Purva Swaha Tatsavitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om Bhurbhuva Svaha Tat Savitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Deyo Yona Prachodayam Om svaha tatsaviturvarivinyam bhargo devasya vimahi deyo yona prachodaya. Om Bhurbhuva svaha tatsaviturvarivinyam bhargo devasya vimahi deyo yona prachodaya. Deyo yona prachodayam.